Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. We are looking together at the last two chapters in the book of Joshua as we conclude our study of this very interesting book. We have found that in the last two chapters there are two addresses, both of them made by Joshua some years apart. We are looking at the first address that was made in the 23rd chapter of the book of Joshua. And the theme of that particular address was continue in the Word of God. We suggested to you that Joshua was mightily concerned because Israel had not driven out all of the nations from the land of Canaan that they were ordered to drive out. Seven of them yet remained, and he was concerned that they might become involved with those nations and forget their original calling and their original purpose. And so he suggested to them that one of the ways to avoid becoming involved with the people who were yet in the Word of God was to continue in the Word. Now, as we look at this 23rd chapter today for the second time, there is something else that is essential if you are going to gain the victory that you need to have in completeness. And that is something that is not emphasized a great deal in our day. As a matter of fact, it is like some of the convictions to which I referred in our last study. It has fallen by the wayside very largely and has almost been brought into disrepute. If it is mentioned, individuals suggesting to you that such an attitude as I am about to mention to you now should not be included in the thought life of believers, because I'm going to talk with you a little now about separation from God's enemies. Not only is there a need, if we're going to have victory, not only is there a need for a continuation in the Word of God, but there is a need as well for separation from God's enemies. Will you notice verse 7, please, of the 23rd chapter of the book of Joshua? That ye come not among those nations that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done this day. Separation from God's enemies in these two verses of Scripture of active aspect is threefold, indicating, if you please, somewhat of a progression. The negative aspect is related to the matter of staying away from the enemies of the people of God. You will notice in verse 7 that ye come not among these nations. Separation from their person. And then that you do not make mention of their gods. And third, that you do not cause to swear by them, nor to serve them, nor to bow down yourselves to them. Did you notice the digression, if that is the word, because it is a downhill trend, or the progression into evil, if you prefer that expression? Things get worse. That's the point. First, the individual comes in contact with the people socially. What's wrong, we often hear, with a social drink? How can you keep from being socially related to some individuals, others say? Following the social relationship, there is the matter of making mention of their gods, talking with them about their gods in relation to Jehovah God. The individuals in question saying, well, what is so different from our God and your God? And gradually, you get the idea that there is not a great deal of difference. That really, this idea of there being but one God and one way is a little outmoded. That there are more ways than one, and that one way is just about as good as another. And finally, in verse 7, the individual is found to be bowing down and worshiping the gods whom he talked about, whom he had only heard about because of the first contact. You are familiar with Psalm number 1 concerning the blessed man who is the individual who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand among the sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. This is the same parallel here. Walking is related to coming in contact with the nations of Joshua 23. Standing is related to making mention of the names of their gods, and sitting is related to bowing down and worshiping their gods. The negative aspect of separation. There are some things to avoid. And please, do not think you are legalistic if you desire by God's grace to live a separated life. There is an obligation placed upon every believer today to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Now, of course, separation, which is negative, accomplishes very little. That's why there are such things as monasteries today and places where people get away from the realities of the world. That's the reason why there are groups of Christians who separate themselves from all other people, even though they do not have physical walls and buildings necessarily to do it. There's no point in separating yourself from unless you separate yourself to. And that brings us to suggest the positive aspect of this matter of separation. It was described for you there in the 8th verse of Joshua 23, where you read, "But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day." You separate yourself from, you separate yourself to the Lord. Now, sometimes the word cleave involves the idea of clinging to an individual, as though you have no particular strength, as though you have no power to do anything but to hang on. But the word cleave here does not have that connotation. The word cleave here has the idea of adhering to the Lord, seek Him out in association. That is indicated down in verse 12, where you read, Joshua 23:12, "Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of those nations, even those that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them," and so on. You see, it's a matter of close association. And so we emphasize that separation is important from the standpoint of separating from, but it is also important in relation to separating to. Now, the third thing that is essential in this first address that Joshua made for complete victory, the third thing, remember the first thing was continuing in the Word, the second thing was separation, and now the third thing is the adoration of God's person. Not only is a matter of continuation in the Word of God, we repeat, not only is it a matter of separation from God's enemies, but it is a matter of adoration of God's person. Will you look there at the 11th verse, please, and notice Joshua chapter 23, verse 11, "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." That ye love the Lord your God. Now, the exhortation to love the Lord is not an unusual exhortation. We find it often in the Old Testament, and the need is evident. But this unique exhortation here is unique in that the emphasis on loving the Lord is preceded by the words, "Take heed, take good heed unto yourselves." Be extra careful. Give extra special attention to the need of loving God. Now, this may sound a bit strange to some of you, because you may think that love is a spontaneous thing, something that just bubbles up. And in a sense it is, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God, and only the Holy Spirit could do that. But we call to mind the words of the Savior to the church at Ephesus when He said, "You have lost your first love. I have somewhat against you. You're not loving like you once loved. And the literal translation is, you are not in the process of loving like you once were in the process of loving. You are growing cold. The love that individuals have for the Lord Jesus Christ can grow cold, and we are told to take good heed that we love the Lord, not what we get from Him, not for what He does for us, but that we love Him, adore His person, to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Take good heed that nothing happens to that personal love you have for the Lord. I believe that the fire of your personal relationship to God can be measured by the personal adoration of the living Lord which you manifest. It has a way of growing cold. It has a way of growing down into cold embers that need to be fanned into the flame once again. Now, Joshua emphasized these three things as being essential if the folk to whom he was speaking and of whom he was soon going to take leave, he emphasized these three things as being essential if they were going to go on to complete and full victory. And I trust that we will give careful thought to the things that have been suggested up to this point, because it is the only way we will have of learning the spiritual lesson that God would have us learn today from this portion of the Word of God. For we, like the Apostle Paul, have not arrived yet. We are not already perfect. We are reaching forth to those things which are before. We're forgetting those things which are behind, and we are attempting to apprehend that for which we have been apprehended by Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you today to lay hold of what God has for you. And if you are in a situation similar to that in which these Israelites were situated, surrounded by people that do not believe as you believe, and surrounded by people that don't stand for the same things you stand for, don't fall into the trap of the so-called ecumenical movement of the day, trying to heal the divisions in Christianity. Rather, take your stand on the Word. Continue in the Word of God. Separate yourself from the enemies of men and separate yourself unto God. And then, if you please, take heed that you love the Lord your God. Don't let your love grow cold. Keep it fanned into a flame that will permeate your entire life. And you'll find the victory just as these people have done.